This week's episode has no paid subscriber, so make yourself the one. Go to thedadpodcast.com and become a paid subscriber for just $24 a year and change my life. Thanks and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 93. We are doing all moms in the month of May. And so here back in the, I don't know what we call this, Studio B, I guess, is what my dad decided to call it. The fantastic Kira Sultanovich is with me, fan favorite. Everybody loves Kira Sultanovich almost as much as I do. I will be honest. My parents are outside doing stuff in my garage right now. Only stayed here because you were here, Kira. You were coming. I swear to God. Yeah, they were planning on leaving this morning. They purchased a car in San Diego.
Why San Diego?
Because he's my father. My father is worth $1.5 million.
Wow.
And he just retired. He's 57.
Okay.
And he lives in a warehouse. We've discussed that. I think you and I, maybe not on this show. And so him and my mom live in, they have a cabin and they have a rental property, but they all spend a good chunk of their time in Modesto in a warehouse where there's no shower, but they'll go over to my grandma's house and bathe and stuff like that. But
okay.
It's like they like to camp. I like it because they have a ton of money. But my dad found a deal. He wanted a Land Rover.
Wow.
Now, most millionaires, one would imagine, would just go and buy a brand new Land Rover, but not my father. He finds a 2001 with just over 100,000 miles for $5,000, and then talks the guy down to $4,500, and he drives all the way down to the other end of California, picks it up, and heads home. So they did that yesterday. And then they were going to head back up, and I said, well, if you guys want, you're more than welcome to stay another day, because my mom was supposed to have a doctor's appointment, but they had to cancel that. It's a longer story. And I said, well, if you want, you could see Kira again. They go, oh, well, then we'll stay. We'll say hi.
So 2001 Land Rover.
Yep.
So no Bluetooth.
No. Yeah, he's probably going to throw that in. He's going to throw that in. Yeah.
Probably still has a cassette player in there. I think 2001 was the last year.
We should check. It's out there in the house.
Yeah.
That scared me too.
one of the
pieces of acoustic foam fell, and it looked like a raccoon was crawling out of the house.
Slowly, I think, like our lives.
Yes,
the studio is coming apart.
Sands through the hourglass.
2001, so 100,000 miles. So after he drives it back up north, Northern California, he'll be done.
The car will be over.
Yeah, the car will be done with.
Ready to turn around, come back, get another one.
Engine. That sounds like a great deal and idea.
Yeah. I think he prescribes to the, what is it? Is it Warren Buffett, is that right?
Warren Buffett, sure.
Yeah, he's that guy. He likes the idea.
Frugal millionaire.
Yes.
Now, is he a millionaire like liquid assets? Or is he a millionaire, if you went into his bank account right now, it would say like $1 million?
It is not liquid. It is mostly in retirement. Investment. Like, if you liquidated it,
right,
you would have to pay a ton in taxes.
Right.
And if you liquidated most of it as of now, because he's only 57,
yeah,
it would be early withdrawal on retirement money.
So when he retires, he'll have $1 million to live off of for how long?
For however long he lives.
Well, see, that's why he's being frugal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I kept telling him for the longest time, I'm like, get out. You know, why are you working? He didn't want to pay for the health care. He had a job just for health care, because it costs a lot more money when you get to be his age, I guess, and... So that was his plan. That's what
he had a job just for healthcare.
Just for healthcare.
Was he a senator?
Yeah.
Oh.
How do you think he became a millionaire?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Because he just didn't.
No, he was a biomed tech at a county hospital.
Wow.
And then they said they did something that frustrated him. So he's like, you know what? Fuck this job. And so he got to do the cool move that I think everybody, probably besides you and I,
right,
we don't have regular jobs. But if you have like a cubicle-esque job, everybody has that moment where you could go in and go, you know what? Shove this job. I'm out of here.
Shove this? That's what you would say in that one wonderful moment?
Well, I'd never practice it because, you know what I mean?
You would say, shove this.
Shove this job.
Hey, to heck with you guys.
You gall darn nitwits. Yeah, I mean it. I am flummoxed with frustration right now, and I need you to just to shove it. You take whatever it is, and you shove it. You may even shove it where the sun don't shine, for all I care.
You take your marital, consenting, sexual love and make love to yourself.
You just missionary shove it wherever you want to shove it.
I would hope that you would use other words if you're going to go into an office and do it.
Although because I'm a guy who curses, so it would make sense. Fuck you, fuck this job, fuck the whole world.
Right.
But now that we've done some of this, I think it would be more fun to kind of go, Alam Examarama.
Double drats.
Double jigga jigga.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you double drat
22
somebody,
skidoo, you.
Yeah, that's serious too.
Right?
My 3-year-old walks around and screams drats all the time. And because I do say that. I do say drats. I don't know if I've ever emailed you back. Like, hey, can you make May 6th work? And I just go, drats. I can't. I'm known for that. And people are like, wow, thanks for bringing drats back. But he did it the other day in where were we? We were like in a store, not a grocery store, but just a whatever. Oh, right. We were in a Radio Shack. And I was looking for an iPhone, a new iPhone cable. And they didn't have what I wanted. And I went, oh. And then he went, do you mean drats, mommy? Like, is this a drats moment?
I think you're having a drats moment.
Yeah. And I go, you know what? You're right. Drats.
Drats. Drats
I really
is.
Do feel like it's a drats.
here's what I want to know about your family.
Yeah.
I want to know, because here's what's, I only know you. I've never met your husband.
Never?
Never. And I want to know, because I hear your interactions of you and your son, and you guys seem very similar in personality. Like, he understands the word drats, and, you know, he's like...
He knows where to use it.
Yeah, he's connecting it back to you. Is your husband like an outsider, an outlier in this? Is he looking at you two like a zoo? You know what I mean?
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm sure you and your wife do this, where you look at your kid and you go, that's you.
Yes.
And I can...
I get all the shitty ones, by the way. Right. I get the, oh, he's so anal retentive. You're just like your father.
Oh, yeah, no.
She gets all the cute faces. That's a Natalie face. Whenever they make a funny, cute face, I'm like, I have cute faces, too.
When my kid is singing and dancing and doing, like, the WB Frog type of situation, you know, where he's like, hello, my baby.
Yeah,
Has the top hat and the cane.
And then your husband walks in and he just goes back to being a frog?
Well, he does that for strangers. Okay. Like, he won't do it for, you know. But my husband's like, that's you. And it's true, you know, because I was that when I was a kid. You know, my grandmother walked with a cane, and I thought it would be hilarious to perform with it. And she's, like, feeling around the room like, I have to go use the toilet. And I'm like, hello, my baby. And I'm, like, spinning her cane around. And my parents were like, give Babushka back the cane. And I said, after this number, I'm doing a number. So, yes. But my husband was very chill when he was a kid because I think he was just scared to make a sound. And I was scared, but I still performed. I was still a performing monkey. But Brayden is doing something that I don't know if either one of us did. We were in the grocery store, and he is in the shopping cart, you know, sitting in the, you know, the little seat as I'm unloading groceries onto the belt. So I'm not watching him really for that moment because my back is to him.
Yep.
And he's facing the woman in line. Right?
Mm-hmm. So he's behind you.
Right, yeah. So he's facing the next person in line. And all I hear is, and I'm just unloading groceries, talking to the, you know, checkout chick. And all I hear is, hello, old brown lady.
And that's your husband. That your husband is a racist, is what you're saying.
I didn't tell this story already, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
No, because, I don't think it. And I don't even turn around because I don't even want to see. But eventually,
you're also a red lady, I would imagine, at this point. That's what I would do. I would just go head down, keep moving frozen vegetables and mixed assortments.
God. And I finally do look up, and it is an older black lady.
Yeah.
So he wasn't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she was probably more offended by the old part.
Right.
Hello, old brown lady. He said it just like that.
Like, I don't know the right term for it, but it sounds almost vaudevillian in its delivery.
You
know,
like, hello, old old friend. Nice to see you again.
Like if we were listening to an old radio play, it'd be like, exactly. Well, hello there, brown lady.
Yes,
welcome. Come on in. Have a seat. Can I get you a pear?
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, I said under my breath, oh, drats. How am I going to deal with this?
Double drats.
And I just, you know, and I thought this is a learning moment.
Uh-huh.
So she was pissed. So I didn't really.
Oh, she was pissed.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why.
Who gets angry at a 3-year-old?
Well, brown people, I guess.
Reverse racism, finally, last. It rears its ugly head.
So, you know, I said, that's right. We all have different, you know, shades. I didn't say color. I said shades of skin. You're right. And then I just kind of, hey, debit or credit? I brought my own bags. Does that count? Do I get points? Because it's, you know, Whole Foods.
Cut to the black cashier at the same at the Rouse.
Did you know at Whole Foods?
Followed by the Asian bagger.
Did you know if you forget to bring your own bags at Whole Foods, the cashier has to get another nose ring? That's why you should always
It's like It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
You always bring
They have to. They have to get a new... Their ear gets stretched out more for bigger discs.
Oh, they put bigger discs
in
there. That's
so
when they find out.
Bring your bags, folks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I wonder if any part of the rest of the country deals with this.
Austin, I'm sure. Parts of
you think
you know,
even I know that Austin is hipster, but I don't think they're environmental.
San Francisco,
yes.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a very Californian thing. Maybe a quasi New York. I don't even
know. Probably parts of Brooklyn. I'm sure hipster parts.
But I feel like even Texas is even hipster Texas
no,
is immune
Austin.
To the environmentalism.
No, Austin.
You don't think so?
Oh my God, they will make you if you have to use the bathroom in Austin. They will make you compost it while they're watching. They're like, oh, you got to poop? Yeah. We'll put it in this
Here's
bucket.
Some mealworms.
Yeah.
You're going to need that.
They are serious there. So notice next time if you go to Whole Foods, don't bring your bags. Then the cashier, another new neck tattoo.
Oh,
watch,
really?
Watch what happens.
Neck tattoo, disc earrings.
Yeah, so just do it. But we were shopping the other day. It's always shopping. I don't know why. Maybe because he's just sitting and he's just watching. He's just people watching. But there was a woman who was large, very large, you know. Large for LA is like she was over 150 pounds.
Yeah.
She was large for Arkansas.
Yes.
Like they would have said, girl, you're going to get the diabetes. You know what I mean? Like they were, I don't know why I was a black woman in Arkansas.
Well, your family has an affinity towards brown people.
We always have a problem. So she was a very large woman and she had a basket and it was full of fruits and vegetables. And my kid noticed and he was like, why does she have only fruits and vegetables? And I said, hey, you know, maybe, you know, everyone wants to be healthy. That's all I said.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be healthy too. Look, we have fruits and vegetables in our, you know, shopping cart. So he leans over to her. Again, I made my way over to something else. I left him kind of there in the middle, out of arm's distance of
right,
stuff.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. And he leans over and I just hear, have fun being healthy. So now I have to make my way over, giving like one of those surprise smiles, like, hey, what happened while I was gone? Anything interesting happen? And she's giving me a look, and I'm like, listen, come on. I didn't do anything wrong in this situation.
No.
I tried to make it as nice as possible.
It is an interesting observation that you're making here, is that, because that's why I was so shocked that the lady was angry, because... That's
the brown lady?
Yeah, the mouths of babes. That's the whole thing, is that they are equal parts honest as they are ignorant to the social convention. Like, they don't have a filter because they haven't learned that part yet.
Yeah.
It's like, to think that we are actually going to get to a point where we are not going to notice the differences between each other is absolutely insane.
Well, you don't blame the parent unless it's something like, my mommy told me brown people are lazy. Like,
right.
Unless it's that...
Yeah, he didn't drop an N-bomb. You know, it's not
right. But like,
here's what I think. I think honestly, let's reverse families, right?
Okay.
And my kid's sitting in there, and my kid just goes, ah, motherfucker. I think that's more likely to go, oh, and they kind of, you know, playfully laugh and cover their mouth or hide their face.
Yeah, like that kid has watched his parents make love.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's what that means.
Yeah, he got that from there.
But it's a family of affection at home. But with yours, it's like, racist, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I hope she didn't think that we are racist. Cause...
But if she did, it's not, that's on her.
I literally wanted to say, he has black friends. Because he does.
It's totally cool. It's totally cool. He's in an R&B group. He's in an R&B group. They're bringing back boy bands. They're making them younger. Oh. And he's in it. He's committed. He's the tall guy. He's
My racist
moment with my children was we were walking by the Uncle Ben's. And I think it was Jacob, the older one, but he was obviously much younger. And he goes, "Look at that silly monkey."
Oh, no.
Because I'd grabbed. That's what it was. We were going through a phase where we would buy those plastic bags that you just kind of tear a little and throw in the microwave. And then that's how they steam real quick.
Oh, right, right.
So I'd throw in those, and he was holding it, I think, or something. He goes, "Look at that silly monkey."
Oh, jeez.
And points at the thing, and we're like, "Oh, jeez, oh, gosh."
Yeah, when you see, like, a homeless person, have your kids ever asked, like, a homeless person at the end of a freeway off-ramp?
No.
Or someone?
We don't take them on walks near freeway off-ramps. What are you doing?
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me be clear. You're driving in your Range Rover.
Yeah, there you go. Now, welcome to Burbank.
Yeah. In your 2001.
Yes. Yes.
Still use the hand crank windows.
By the way, the cigarette lighter in the car does not work. So on his drive from San Diego to here, his GPS died, his phone died. He had to use my mom's phone. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Enjoy.
Right? It's going to be awesome.
Best $45,000 ever spent.
Ever.
$4,500.
Yes.
Sorry.
So your freeway off ramp.
So we got with the freeway off ramp. And here in, right here around your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a dude there, and I do try to give change, or if we have like an extra snack in the car, because you always have snacks when you have kids. But the light turned so quickly, and my son was like, "Hey, mommy, do you think that man's hungry?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And the light turned green. I'm like, "But we don't have time to feed him." I felt so bad. He's like, "What happened? Why didn't you?" Like, I got to traffic. I got to keep up with.
Yells out the half roll down window. "We don't have time to feed you."
But where's the lesson?
Have
there?
Fun being hungry.
Oh, do you know what I said once to a homeless guy?
I'm ready.
Who was so mean. My friend and I were walking down the street. It's Hollywood. It's late at night. We were walking down the street, and he said to us, he goes, "You're not getting any younger, ladies."
What? Is he trying to do that, like, complisult or whatever, mystery taught to pick up on women?
I don't know. I mean, he's like, he has urinated in his clothes about 100 times.
Exactly.
he's wearing just a mask of dirt.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, yeah. That's his superhero mask. And his hair just looks, again, like compost from Austin. Like
yes.
Somebody made them shitting my hair. I'm composting it.
We got to do it.
He just looks just, wow. Hello, old brown man. I mean, he's just looks, and he's not, he's a white guy, actually.
Yeah.
He's a white man.
Easy
but
racist.
He's just, I know. Can we omit that part?
Yeah.
Do I get last edit?
Of course.
He's, wow. He's like, if you were to cast a, just transient.
Yep.
Homeless guy.
Central casting homeless
yeah,
guy.
And
he's
he goes, "You're not getting any younger." And he says that to us. And so I said probably one of the worst things I've ever said to a human. I said, "Have fun starving to death."
Well, he asked for it. I mean, he did after a woman and her age.
I did it.
In Hollywood.
I did it for the bit.
I know.
Because I'm a comic.
I know.
I wasn't saying it to actually be mean. But it came off. That's terrible. You shouldn't say that to someone.
No. You're talking about what he said, right? That's what I think.
No.
I think you were in the right.
What he said was just, a concoction of garbage and rum, whatever he had filled his body with that day. I don't really blame him, actually, because I'm not getting any younger.
You just weren't ready to face it?
I didn't have to say have fun starving to death. That's awful. I'm not ashamed. I'm ashamed of it. I'm not proud of it.
But
I'm
it is
saying
funny.
It now to kind of as almost like you're a priest.
Like, let it go. Like, it's a confessional.
Yeah.
I don't. You are 10,000 times a better person than me. I don't stop. I very rarely make eye contact with homeless people. I don't.
Don't you worry about what your kids? Because your kids are watching you for cues of how to treat other people.
Right. I learned from an author I recently had on the show from her book is that more is caught than taught, which
right.
I like. I like that phrase.
Yes. And so that's why I always try to, you know, give money or give a snack or something, right?
Yeah. And that's, I'm curious because I don't know why. I'm not a mean person, I don't think. I mean, one would easily be able to document that I've just said I don't give money to homeless people. But I guess it's my father is a Republican. Very conservative.
Enough said. Podcast is over.
Okay, stay frosty, everybody. Happy Mother's Day.
I mean, that just speaks volumes.
Yeah, well,
no,
so,
my dad's a Republican too.
So there's tons of stories that my dad has of never him, of course. It's always somebody that he's walking with. So the most recent one is he used to work at night repairing anesthesia equipment. And sometimes you would end up where he was a field service tech. And so they would always end up eating at Denny's after they had done a job because you always had to work at night because that's when they weren't using the operating rooms at the hospital. And so right. He goes over with this guy. There's this guy out front of Denny's who's, you know, got a sign and stuff. And so this younger kid who was working with my dad goes, you know, I'm going to buy that guy dinner, you know. And so he goes, come on in. He goes, here, have a seat. The people at Denny's, I'm sure, appreciated him bringing this homeless person in and providing him a booth and saying, I will buy whatever it is that he eats. So
wow.
This guy racked up about a $50 bill at Denny's.
How can you even do? He bought everything at Denny's.
He did. And
he took home one of the cooks.
the best part was is that about halfway through the meal, the guy's back. This is how it worked out. The guy's back was to the homeless person, but my dad could see him. And so he said, my dad goes, do you feel better after you did that? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I like to help somebody. You know, I think, you know, maybe what if it just made his life a little bit better? And my dad said, he goes, I think you did, to be honest. And the kid knew how my dad was. He's like, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, he's telling, I think, only his friends over his cell phone right now. He's the guy goes, what? And he turns around, the guy's on a cell phone talking while he's just shoveling moons over Miami in his face and going to town.
That has always tripped me out. I've seen, I don't know, whatever, homeless. I don't know what you want to call them because I don't know. Maybe they don't have a home. Maybe they do. But they have a cell phone and it's working. So the bill is being paid. So what's happening there?
That's where I get hung up. That's what I mean. I'm not anti-generous. I don't subscribe to philosophy like, you're all getting duped. It's all going into booze and drugs. I'm not that guy. But at the same time, like, I go to Lowe's a lot right here at the Empire Center near my house. And there's always somebody stationed there. Like, there is its own company who hires panhandlers to come out and hang out there. And they have a sign. And I guess if I was a better father, I would set a nice example and say, here, you know, here's some change. I usually don't have cash on me. And if I do have cash now, it's because I pay my kids to do little chores around here, which, oh, that's an interesting thing. Well, I'll talk about that moment of the week.
But anyway,
so I drive by them, but I always see the same guys there day after day, week after week. And I just feel like, to me, if I could see a little bit more of a turnover in this job market, then I would feel like maybe that would motivate me and make me not so cold-hearted.
Yeah.
But I'm not wired that way. I'm not at all. There was one time that there was a guy who was riding. I was walking the dog, and he pulled me over. He was like, hey, man, can I ask you a favor? And I said, yeah, what's up? And he goes, I just got home. I was deployed. He goes, I was in the Air Force, and he had his military ID. And he goes, I'm trying to get settled in here and everything. If you could just give me. And I was like, sure. And I gave him, I think, like $20 because that's what I had in my wallet.
Wow.
I was like, here you go. And I don't know why, but there was something about him that made me just go, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, no problem. Maybe it's because he was in the armed forces. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then 2 days later, I saw him doing the same thing. Like he was on the mountain bike. Now, obviously, my $20 isn't going to make him build a financial empire.
No.
But it's just,
that's going to pay that cell phone bill.
Exactly.
So that he can tell his friends, it's working.
It's working.
People are giving me money.
The Chandler bike path is the best gig I've had.
Thanks for this fake ID. Nobody knows what they really look like.
You know what makes it extra funny is that he's a black guy. So by my racist conversation earlier,
brown guy,
they all look the same. I couldn't tell the difference between the guy in the picture and the real guy.
Sure, sure.
But that's the other thing is that I was like, oh man. But what I did appreciate was that he said, hello. He goes, hey, thanks again. And this is 3 days later.
He said, hey, thanks again, and then kept on going and, like, didn't obviously stop and hit me up. But I'd seen him – I've seen him twice since then, and I saw him hitting up another guy on this bike path.
Wow.
So I don't – yeah, I don't know. There was an author that I had on the show, Andy Andrews, a long time ago, who has this, like, kind of, like, self-help book or story that he got homeless. Like, he was living under a pier in the near the Gulf of Mexico, and I asked him, I said, you know, I'm curious about this. Whenever somebody sees a panhandler, like some people say, well, it's their choice or, you know, whatever, they should get a job. And I said, you've actually done it. And he goes, well, I can't speak for everybody. He said, but I could tell you that it's not like a sudden process. Like he goes, right. I went from living in an apartment and having a motorcycle to living in a trailer and having a motorcycle to living in a tent and having a motorcycle to living in a tent. Like that's. He goes, it took several months, and he goes, you could see it happening slowly, 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 slowly. And he goes, but you just don't have the ability to kind of go, hey, wait a minute, maybe something I'm doing isn't right, or maybe you don't have the choice.
So how did he get out of it?
Well, in this book, he meets this guy, and that's where it gets kind of weird, is that it's not really said whether this is an actual nonfiction story or if it is, but he meets this guy who's kind of like a homeless guy, but he's not really a homeless guy, and he kind of teaches him some lessons, and so he goes and he starts getting jobs and then works himself back up to being able to have a house, and then, he wrote a book about his tales and stuff. Now, for all I know, that's not my impression, but for all I know, he could just be a guy who was born in a six-figure family, went to Oxford University and came up with a great idea for a novel and wrote it as a self-help book, and everybody's like, I love it.
But, right. Well, there is a article floating around Facebook right now about one of the writers that was on Roseanne. And, was making amazing money being a WGA writer. Mm-hmm. This was at the height of Roseanne's sitcom and, won the Emmys, accolades, had a six-bedroom home up in the Hollywood Hills. All his kids went to private school, had the cars. I mean, not 2001 Range Rovers, but something close to that.
2001 Range Rover money.
2001, I don't think it was happening yet.
Oh.
I don't think it was 2001 yet.
Well, she clearly didn't have enough money because she could have bought future models if she would have had enough.
Right.
Could assume.
It was a guy. Oh. Okay, so all of a sudden, Roseanne is done and over. And this writer, I guess, didn't really think about the future, which I'm sure that could happen to any of us, right?
It does. It happens constantly.
Yeah, but all of a sudden couldn't afford all the private schools. Mm-hmm. So then slowly had to take his kids out of private school, then couldn't afford the house anymore and had to take, had to get a smaller home. And then, of course, at that moment, he's not getting any more jobs. So his income and savings are dwindling. And what happens? His wife is like, F this, double drats, and they divorce.
Outstanding.
So when they divorce, I can't remember what the details are with the wife and the kids, but they like just go off and do their own thing. And basically this guy ends up being homeless from a writer on one of the biggest sitcoms in sitcom history. Yeah. Well, they made a lot of money and there's probably a lot of savings there.
And royalties.
And
for
royalties
a long time.
And all that. Couldn't get another job. That's also the trick was he couldn't get another job. Now he probably had an ego that he didn't want to take something let me just
lesser
go work.
Or maybe he was hard to work with.
Who knows the other details, but homeless. And then he talks about in this article, which it might have been a book actually, how he, was homeless for a while. And then started to rebuild his life back up, and now his kids are back with him.
Is he writing, or did he just go to another gig, or?
I think he's doing like real estate, but another world. But that is so super scary because that's the business that you and I live in. I don't see that ever happening for us at this level,
right?
But when you're making maybe $2-3 million a year, you don't think it could ever happen.
And I think that's the trick. I think the trick is once you hit a wage that is livable, you continue to maintain that lifestyle. And then if you start making more money,
then you stockpile it or put it into something that'll make you more money.
Right.
And you maintain the lifestyle. Like right now I've hit about a $60,000 a year lifestyle. Like that's very comfortable for me. And so I can make my mortgage. I can do everything that, you know, that I need to do. So anything above that, I don't then upgrade and
right.
go beyond. And I think that's kind of like what my dad has obviously spent his entire life doing, too.
And that is definitely, I mean, you're smart, though. You read all those books.
I do.
You read them books.
I do read
books.
A lot.
Do you ever do like Audible or anything that when you're driving so that you can, because I don't know how you have time to
read. I don't,
read.
That's the truth. The honest truth is that I've maybe read 5 books in my adult life. Most of them are, I just do the audio version.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, because that's how I've started to, because, you know, you're on long drives, like mm-hmm. In the middle of, like, you know, Scratch Your Armpit, Tennessee. No offense, Tennessee. Relax.
But much offense to Scratch Your Armpit, Tennessee.
Yes.
That's just poor, poor zoning.
Douches.
Poor city planning.
There.
Yeah.
Just wash your armpit. How about that? You won't be scratching it so much.
Then it'll
much.
Be fine.
So you're on those long drives from gigs, and it's great. You can get a lot of books in. But I think the point is, I'm a racist. Whenever I forget the point of my conversation, I just go back to...
You go back to the core of who you are as a person.
I hate homeless people. and I want to watch them
ethnics.
Slowly starve
ethnics.
To death.
Don't forget ethnics.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, but one quick thing about taught versus...
Caught.
I do believe in that 100%. It's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Because my kid, the minute you were joking when I walked up here, up to your garage, and you were like, oh, great. Now Kira's going to have to watch me beat you two kids, right? Because
mm-hmm.
they were in styrofoam, which, again.
Playing with the clawed hammers in a box.
I blame your parents.
Yeah. No, you should.
It's bad parenting on every level.
It's trickle. I like that. It's trickle down from
parenting.
Them.
Yeah.
It ultimately starts at the top.
Yeah. But the minute I stopped, like, losing my temper at my kid, he definitely stopped losing his temper at me.
I agree.
I know that we talked about this last time.
I get hung up on that a lot where I get in a funk. And my parents and I were talking about it last night in that I get in a funk. And it's just like, but when you realize it's just a... Because here's where I get. There's a lot of repetition happening in my life.
Yes.
There's a lot of every time I put a plate down at a table, I come back, I get my food, I come sit down, and then I'm looking at him and I go, sit on your butt.
Yes.
Lean forward, eat over your plate.
Yes.
For the love of God.
Why can't my kid put both knees under the table?
Yes.
He does this crazy side saddle.
And then they fall. Like, you try to let them go, maybe I'm being up. This is what I've done.
Right.
Maybe I'm being uptight. And then they fall out, bang their head. Now you're dealing with crying and whining, and your food's getting cold. And you know what I mean? And so it's like, oh, gee, if you just, and that's what, it's hard for me.
Yeah.
Because I just spend a lot of time going, if you just listen, if you just did, and I've told my kids this countless times, I go, I cannot stress enough to you how easy your life would be if you would just do exactly as I tell you.
I know.
There will be a time later when you pay bills that you could do whatever you want. But right now, if you just listen to me, it makes your life so easy. You don't have it bad here.
Okay, but then now I'm going to play the other side.
Okay.
Do you want to raise two men?
Yes.
That all they do is just wait for someone to tell them what to do, and they have no concept of how to make their own decisions and make a good one.
I don't think that even if they did do that, that's not my parenting style. My parenting style isn't to dictate everything that they should be doing. I have that's the most frustrating part about it, is that I have very few limits in my house, very few rules, because I'm so busy focused on just sitting on your ass and eating your food without falling off of the table.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
If you could just not drip syrup for 6 inches across a table every morning, that would be awesome.
If
you could just get through that, that would be great. And I'm not even like... In a similar note, I had a conversation with the director at my kid's preschool recently, where my 2-year-old learned to put shoes on by himself. And so I went to pick up at school, and she goes, Jack, look, you put your shoes on. Good job. I go, but they're on the wrong foot. And she just lowers her head and goes, oh, geez. Like, she goes, you're supposed to celebrate the accomplishment.
But you are like, well, the accomplishment is not fulfilled.
Right.
Yes.
And so, and then there was an ongoing thing where she was, the listeners know, you may not know this, but I have only an internet-based feud with my older son's preschool teacher, because she gives him like these fucking solar system projects and shit that are way beyond his realm right now. And I think that it should be focused on things like, when's your birthday? And what's your phone number, your address? Like, little things that you should, like, are helpful for a little kid to know. Like, say he gets lost. If he has his...
But your kid's almost six.
Right.
So he should know the solar system.
No, he should not know... Okay, maybe he could know the planets, right? I'm like, yeah, sure. But she gives us these vague projects that she wants to do about the solar system.
Like, she wants him to point out Sagittarius in the constellations.
No, like, what no. Maybe that's really what frustrates me. It's the ambiguity of it. That it's like, we're doing a project on the solar system. It's due at the end of this month.
Okay.
Here's, you know, the kids could bring in pictures to talk about, share whatever it is. And so
that's fine.
What frustrates, no, it's not, I don't know why you and I end up arguing, but I like it. I'm not mad about it, but I just.
Okay, but tell me what's frustrating you.
What's frustrating is that he cannot do that.
Right.
He cannot sit down and write down a project. He can't.
But all she's asking for are pictures.
Right.
So you Google image some right. pictures.
Right. That's what I do.
Right.
You see that because I don't do the project for him. But see, then the other kids in the class, they just have parents that do the project for them. Like, you come in, you see a blue poster board with fucking bubble glue and balloon lettering
like
with glitter on it.
PowerPoint presentation.
Right, that they have. Yeah. And there's, you know, there's a collage of some kind.
Yeah,
and
it's like, to scale.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and it's a weird thing for me because I don't want my kid to assess his own value or, I don't know if that's the right word, but like, you know what I mean? Like how his own esteem, like his self-esteem based on the comparison of, say, his project to the other kids. And when I know that that kid didn't do that project.
Right. And all you have to do is tell him that.
Here's the problem with me is that when I have
You're
done
a douche.
It, I am a douche. I'm a colossal douche. And then I am going to be the homeless guy on Sunset Boulevard at one point in my life that I am going. I get angry and frustrated with these projects because, like, I have a lot going on. Now, not so much that I can't interact with my kids on an academic level, but I think what really boils down to it is that there is a reason why I do what I do, and it's because I do not like doing things that I don't think make sense, right?
Okay.
So, like, there are people that listening to the show, there are people in this world, maybe you would be included, I don't know, you tell me, but that... You could go in and have a boss say, I need you to do this. And it's completely irrational to you.
Just right.
makes no sense whatsoever. It's a colossal waste of time. And they could go, you got it. And they're not going to like it, but they could still move past that point.
Yeah.
I am not wired that way. I have to fight it. And if I still have to do it, I just fume and I get angry and angrier and frustrated and more frustrated. And so when I come home, like I pick up the kids from school, I come home, I usually allow them to play in the backyard or run around and be boys. And then there's a time where I bathe them and then I have to start getting dinner ready because my wife gets off at 5 o'clock. So I want them to be able to have dinner. And I try to bathe them so that when she gets home, because there's only about 2 to 2.5 hours that she has to be able to eat dinner and talk with them and hug them and do the mom stuff before they have to go to bed. And I don't want that to be filled with bath time or any kind of a chore. And so we're in the middle of doing all that stuff and we're having fun. Maybe we go on a walk and stuff. Now, to me, at this age, these are things that are awesome. These are things that are really good for a kid, that we're setting a foundation for a strong family unit.
Yeah.
We're putting bricks in place. Now, it gets mucked up for me when I got to start fucking talking about the moon or solar system to a child who doesn't even understand what it is that the project is either. Like, it all started with this Obama thing that he had to do a presidential report. So I said, great, what do you want to do? And he goes, I want to talk about where Obama came from. I said, Kenya. Nailed it.
I knew that was coming.
So I looked it up, and then I'm drilling into him the birthday and everything. And so I said, and he's writing letters. Like, he's learning to write his letters. He could write his own name and everything.
Impressive.
So I'm very proud. Yes. And I think that's what he should be doing. Like, he should learn to write his own name and learn little words and stuff like that. Like, I feel like
in kindergarten?
He's going to be in kindergarten in August, but this is like a kindergarten prep.
Oh, so he's not in kindergarten
No,
yet?
No. No, he's not. He's in preschool. This is a preschool that I pay for.
But he's almost six.
Right, because he's on the cusp.
Oh.
So he was born literally 2 weeks after he would have started school. So he would have been four when he started kindergarten, technically, if we would have done it the way they wanted us to do it. But we decided to wait because we'd read online.
Redshirt him.
He's a redshirted freshman.
Is that what it's called?
Well, in college sports, yes. Yeah. It's where you put a red shirt on him, and then that year kind of doesn't count, is my understanding.
Right. They just kind of hold them back on purpose, right?
Yeah. So, because I think you can only play for 4 years tops, and
right.
So you can get redshirted, so you could stay a little longer if you're super young. But anyway, so my frustration is that I want these to be things that he can do, because my father never really participated in all but one project when I was a kid.
See, now we're getting to it. Now we're getting to the meat. Now we're getting so close to the meat. We're at the bone, you know? And now we're getting into the marrow.
You know what?
Yeah, now I'm sucking the knuckles off, and we're getting the marrow out.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll get deeper into my father.
Yeah, this bone and this meat tastes good to me.
Once again, don't forget, you could go to thedadpodcast.com and support the show by becoming a paid subscriber. One of the listeners wrote in and brought up a very interesting point. They just renewed their annual paid subscribership. That means that they have been supporting the show for over a year while you have lazily just been sitting and listening. You should be disgusted with yourself. I also just added some new dates to my stand-up calendar. May 15th through 18th, I'm going to be at the Toledo Funny Bone in Toledo, Ohio, opening up for Tom Arnold. And there's a slight chance I might be headlining on Sunday the 18th. Don't miss my headlining show here in Southern California at Burbank Flappers, where the one and only Dr. J. Sute, that's right, our pediatrician on the show, will be opening for me. It'll be a great show for fathers and mothers and anybody. For the people who don't have children, they're going to hate it. And of course, you can find out about all my stand-up dates at justincomedy.com, where you can sign up for my email newsletter, get an automatic email when I'm coming to your area.
Okay, so we're back, and
I was sucking on your bone.
That's
inappropriate.
That's a whole other podcast is what that is, Ms. Soltanovich.
Wow, you've never booked me for that podcast. Welcome to the bone sucking hour.
I'll be honest. It's not that I don't find you unbelievably attractive.
Come on.
You're like a sister.
This kind of thing?
No, you're very young.
Oh, boy.
You are a summer chicken at best.
I got chin hairs that are so strong. I used to be able to pluck them with no problem, right? You know, like a 20-year-old has like one sprouts out and you're like, I got this. You pluck it with your fingers. Mm-hmm. These have roots.
Yes.
These have grown. The roots go down into my unborn baby's placenta.
I wish my wife was here.
They are strong now. That's how you know you're old.
That's when it happens.
That's how you know. When the other hair is like just fucked up, right? But the chin hair start to thrive and prosper. When my grandmother passed away, she was 101. 101. She had a chew man fu that would make you fucking bow in her presence. A Mr. Miyagi
style.
She
looked like Ashton Kutcher kind of?
Sweep
like
the leg. Ashton Kutcher has a Chew Man Fu.
Well, the facial hair. His doesn't grow full beard. It's like a weird young man's straggly.
Yeah, but she had strong.
Oh, she
yeah,
was.
Yeah, she was the bearded lady. She was the circus act. So those are my genes.
That's your future.
Yeah. But
is
thank
your husband
you.
Aware?
I'll take the compliment. Thank you.
You should. You should take it. My wife also plucks hers and has noticed more and more that come in. It's been a joy for me. As the one who looks older in our relationship, it is a joy to watch her now age.
If you look older, I mean, you look about 19 and a half to
How
me.
How dare you? Let me take off my hat. Let's all take in the
do
salt
you,
and pepper.
Do you season that meat with
yes,
those spices?
Exactly. I do. I've got a Kobe beef on my head.
And that's what you can do as a dude.
No, well, here's...
What if I walked in with that?
I think you would still look smoking.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
Your voice went up 3 octaves. Let's just start with that.
Here's the thing. I'll be honest. It's twofold. Number one is that when you're a guy who's put on the spot like that, you are speaking your true intentions, but you're fearful that you, as a guy, cannot make them sound not sincere, if that makes sense. Like, it's a weird hiccup that happens in your brain where it's like, this is a lose-lose. All men are well aware of the lose-lose scenario.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that if there, so you have to try to, you want to push it to overcompensate for the hole you're in, but then you're also, well, I can't push it too far because then that's going to seem insincere. So you're trying to find a sweet spot. And so my brain told me, go up a 3 octaves.
Yes.
And that's going to sell it.
Okay,
right?
So I feel like I gained 5 pounds over the last month, right? And I was on the road. I was eating really poorly, bad choices, you know, chocolate chips, all that stupid stuff that I don't normally eat at home because I don't buy it. So last night, this happened last night, I said to my husband, you know, I'm trying to like really take my vitamins so that my body feels fulfilled with vitamins. And so I don't grab
You're not it. Craving.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm really trying hard to remember to take all these vitamins, all my omegas and all the stuff, you know, these like cellular vitamins I'm taking. And I go, because I feel like I've gained 5 pounds and it doesn't feel good. Silence.
Your husband has silence?
Silence, right? He just looked at me and he was like, you know, like smiling, like I'm supporting you. But there was no like, I don't think you've gained 5 pounds. Even if this octave, you know, even if you went up 3 octaves, there was nothing.
So this is a lose-lose?
It's lose-lose. Because if he would have said something, it would have gone up 5 octaves.
Uh-huh.
But then he was silent and just smiled like, I'm listening to your story and I'm being supportive, which is also good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Here's the thing.
It doesn't matter what he says, I'm still angry that I gained 5 pounds.
Right. Well, and here's what I know about myself. I know that I am 70% woman in my emotional awareness. That I am hyper aware of all things because I have had, on your end of that scope, my wife has just kind of been like, I don't know what you want from me. Like that kind of weird vibe that I've painted her into. That she even as a woman goes, I am confused here.
You know
what I mean? Of what to do to react to this situation. So maybe he's just more of a stereotypical guy, and then he's like that, like a sitcom guy where it's like, I'm dumb. I don't know what girls like or whatever.
Right, right. No, I think he made a conscious choice to like, I don't want to say anything.
That would be incriminating.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yes. But I'm just going back to your point.
Right.
You're right. It's lose-lose.
It's lose-lose.
He could have said something like, you look great. You're fine.
But he has to know you look great.
Well, sure, but it doesn't matter.
Even if you would have said it, he would have said it, you would have believed it.
But guess what? It's the same with if I looked at your penis right now, mm-hmm. I'd probably go, it's fine.
No. No, it's not.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, with a dude, it doesn't matter how.
I wish it had put on weight. I wish it could make some unhealthy eating choices. I would love to carbo load my cock so bad.
There are some guys who are totally fine with their size, but most want it bigger. Most, I would say, right? Like
I would say
chicks.
I'm fine. Here's the thing. I would say I'm fine with my size, but I would not want everyone to see it. You know what I mean? Like it's like me. I think I'm a good example with my abdomen. You understand? Like I don't look at myself as repulsive, but if I was in a public situation, I would not want to take my shirt off at a pool. But if I was, you know, 40 pounds lighter, I'd be like, and, you know, had
Take
the
a
at,
look
I'd be
at
like,
this,
boom.
Ladies.
So if it was like, if it was just like almost like about to kiss my leg, I would let it fall out of a bathing suit. You know what I mean? Like I would let it just happen, you know, but I wouldn't flaunt it.
But it doesn't, like, if you're feeling a little like, oh, I wish I had a little bit more, it doesn't matter what chick says anything to you, right? Or are dudes different if they hear, oh my God, it's amazing. You're like, yeah, it is. Take it.
I wish I could speak for all men, but here's the thing. If all men are really like me on some level, like I assume that they are, I think you're absolutely correct. That I think that, because there's been moments when I've been intimate with my lady and she said something that like, oh my, you know, and I'm like, I feel like you're just, no, do you mean it? Like almost, I just want to stop. I just want to stop
like,
and go,
come on.
What did, come, really? Because like, I really appreciate that because I really have been working hard on my technique and I really appreciate that if you noticing it. I mean, just I know. One more second, I'll get right back to it. But I just want to have look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. I want to have this. Like I've had that thought, like those kinds of feelings in my head. But it's a weird thing because I've now going through it with my wife is that she like I tell her now all the time because she does. She looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I never as a guy, I think it's a weird thing. I don't think guys look at their wives, especially after they have kids and their body changes or any kind of weight fluctuations. I really don't think that they look at them and go, oh, man, that really sucks. Like, ugh.
Because that's how I feel, though.
No.
Even though my body has pretty much gone back it's kind of like a Picasso painting. You know what I mean? Like where like one eyeball's down here. And yes. The, you know what I mean? Like I have like part of my ass is over here and then like I have a nose like on my thigh. Like it's not 100% back, but it's fine. Like it's definitely passable.
That's a good point. I feel like moms say, even when they've bounced back, right, yeah. At best, you are just fine.
Yeah.
You understand? You are
it's
just,
fine.
Everything is okay as opposed to smoking or, you know what I mean, like feeling right. really good.
If I really tried hard, which I don't, if right. I really worked out, if I really, you know, watched what I ate, it'd be better. It would be absolutely better. But I don't. And you know what? But in the stretch mark department, I lucked out because yeah. they're not that bad at all. And I had a 10-pound baby and I gained 50 pounds.
Yes.
So in that sense, like, whew, I dodged a bullet. But, you know, it's not the same. And I was in Vegas working. I talked to you about it before we started mm-hmm. rolling. You know, there are other comics there and there's people hanging out and friends come in from out of town. And we decided to go to the pool, which I don't normally do when I'm on the road. I don't know about you, but I don't like to really treat it like a vacation.
No.
I always feel like I'm working. In the back of my mind, I'm working. Mm-hmm. But I did. This one day, I'm like, all right, I'll put on a bathing suit, took care of the chin hairs and all the chin hairs. You know what I mean? And I went out there like, okay, here we go. I had a bikini on. I've had a kid. I haven't tried hard, but it's fine. Like, here we go. And there was a chick a little bit older than me, a little bit, but not by much, who has never had a kid, who I looked much better than.
Yeah.
In a bikini. And I was like, I got this.
Fuck you.
Hello, fat white lady. But, you know, I was like, all right, it's not that bad.
Right.
It's just you have to compare it to something.
But it's never bad. Like, that's what maybe it's because I always look at it from, like, the guy perspective. I like that we're talking about this on a Mother's Day episode. Because I do, it's really interesting to me. I have like 15 minutes of my act devoted to it because I think it's so crazy how self-conscious women get about their bodies after they have kids. It really is insane when, like, it's like you forget that men are fundamentally monkeys. And maybe it's just because, this is what I was trying to get to, is that maybe it's because for us, everything is sexually based.
Right.
You understand? And so it's like, and it's not even that. It's not even that we look at it and go, it doesn't fucking matter as long as I'm getting. It's not that. It's just like if we see you, especially when we love you, it doesn't matter what you're wearing, what your hair looks like or anything
really?
Like that, that we are on board. We
wow.
are in it to win it.
We have it so backwards.
No, wait, what do you mean?
Chicks.
Oh, yeah.
We always think, well, if only, you know, if I just got my highlights done.
No.
No, it doesn't
I'm
matter.
Telling you. Tell me. Take one stroll. That are most married men, and when I say most, I mean 99%. 99% of the married men out there, their favorite moment in the day, if they are able to participate or witness it, as a guy who doesn't have to get up and go to work early in the morning, you understand, my favorite time is that time from the shower to the bedroom. That is the sweetest.
The shower to the bedroom.
When my lady will get up, right. she's wearing some kind of a PJ situation.
Right.
She will go into the shower and she will come back. She only takes, I don't know why, but I love it. She only takes underwear to the shower and then comes back in what is essentially a bikini, right?
Right.
I mean, underwear and bra. And I love it.
Does it have to match?
No.
Okay.
No. She came out of the other day with a black bra and like yellow panties
Whore.
Or whatever. I know.
Whore.
But I was on board. I told her, I go, good God. Good God, you look good.
See, that's so great that you said that. You said that to her, right?
Right?
Yeah, that's wonderful that you said that.
But try. Here's the thing. I also have a fear because I know of one friend of mine who was feeling like her husband was kind of neglecting her.
Yeah.
And so he's a big video gamer. They're yeah. now divorced. So awesome. You know how this played out.
Well, he has more time to play video games.
Exactly.
Good
for him. And she is a knockout. She's like this chick who she would have a gig being like a Miller Lite girl at a bar kind of a thing.
Whoa.
She put on some stiletto heels, buck naked, and just stood next to the television while he's playing video games. And in so many words was like, it's go time. Right here, right now, whatever you want, I'm in for. And he was like, just hold on. Just if you could step aside. And here's the thing.
Yeah, no, that's
you can't.
Grounds for divorce.
Yeah, you can't. Like, and she thought that it was, again, she internalized it. And I
right.
was like, no. As a dude, you, like, here's the thing. I could see myself as a joke going, yeah, I'm just
2 minutes away from this Madden quarter ending.
For the bit.
For the bit, and then go, I'm totally kidding.
Yeah.
Because my wife actually did that to me recently. We went to a wedding, and we were out with away from the kids and everything, and we did a little joke in the car where she was like, I go, what do you want to do when we get back? She goes, I think I'm going to take a nap. I go, I think I would like to have sex and then take a nap. And she goes, I think that sounds like an awesome plan, you know? And we laughed, ha, ha, ha. And then we got to the car. She went, boom, boom, buck naked, and I was unpacking. And so I kind of finished. I did like two extra steps because I was trying to get the suitcase off of the bed. You know what I mean? And she's like, seriously? And I go, well, I'm sorry. And so I had felt bad in that moment. But I told this chick, I said, that's not on you. I go, that as a guy, no. You have to know that that is a carpe diem moment is what that is. You seize that day and you seize it completely. So I put out there to the moms listening, to you, Miss Akira Sultanovich, I say, take that walk. And take your time with it. Don't slouch. Don't wrap a towel around the goods. Just do a flyby. You understand? Do a Top Gun flyby of the tower and just watch what happens. Now he may not look at you and go, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But you have to look, because there's also a part of us that are afraid of being perceived as a pig. And so if we stare there and we look at your goodies.
I never, ever have had that problem. I've never been like, you objectify me. How dare you? I want my husband to be a pig.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
have you told him that?
No, I'm so sorry. Let me clarify. I want him to roll around in mud.
Okay. Oh.
That's foreplay.
I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I should probably.
Yeah, you should back that up. That's clear. You buried the lead on that.
I just want him to, because as a Jew.
You want him to root
into
a like
Jew,
a couch or.
I can't have pigs. Yeah. I want it, and it's like a dirty
it's
thing.
It's a forbidden fruit.
Yeah, yeah. And then a rabbi comes over and it blesses my husband's penis. And it's just a thing, it's a fantasy.
Makes it kosher.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does a Jewish girl call a penis? Because, you know, you call it a sausage fest. I would imagine that's unkosher.
What do we, like a Yiddishy word, like a schminkel or a schmilky or a franken or a chlikens?
Some kind of
something
guttural.
Something really sexy. Oh, yeah, I love your schmanky inside of my chluken. Because when you're spitting like that, you're lubricating the parts.
Right, of course, it's getting everything ready. It's, it's like kicking it in overdrive.
Do you
want
to put your chluken in my
You know, it's funny, too.
That's the sound it makes when you have sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I would have had sex with a Jewish girl. That would have been so great.
Oh, my God. The sounds are hilarious.
I love it.
It's like making love to Jackie Mason's act. And then the chin and the chun. And she put the chin and the chun and the...
We were traveling when we went to said wedding, and there was an Orthodox Jewish family that had gotten off a plane. And it was just incredibly interesting to watch their dynamic. A, they had 6 kids. And he was in the whole suit, the get up.
Were they all? Did they all have a scowl on their face?
The dad did.
Yes.
The children did not. Mm. It was an interesting thing where he was super like, okay, he was super like wound up, and mom couldn't be more chill, and
oh,
she
really?
Was beautiful too. Like
wow,
like it was funny. You could tell like she had beautiful jet black hair.
It's a wig.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And just beautiful complexion and. I was like, I go, man, and this guy was not easy on the eyes. He was
not
they're, like
they're usually not.
Most dudes, well, I think that's every guy in a relationship. But that, and so I was just like, I'm like, wow. And but she was very plain Jane in her like in her dress and everything. Yeah. And he's like, we gotta go, let's do this. Listen, she's just like, whatever. And that's what I was like, how? What is that sex life like? Where you have this woman who's just like,
it's
well,
through
yeah.
a hole in a sheet.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
I love everything about it. But to get back to. There's 2 things we have to get back, and
oh,
I don't want to make you
I'm
late
sorry.
For your appointment.
I am the vice president of Tangents.
I love it.
I don't know if I told you. I ran for mayor for Tangent City, USA.
If you are the vice president, I am the Speaker of the House.
Okay. All right. I am the worst. You have to keep me.
We will not be crossing
like
party lines in this at all.
Dog
I will follow you to any tangent you can go. But I want to button that because I do think that as a guy, you don't want to get caught looking. And I did it on accident.
At her?
Mm-hmm. And my wife, like, comments, and she goes, are you checking me out? And I was like, yeah.
That's
like,
wonderful.
But see, guys, I don't know. And maybe I'm wrong. There are guys out there. Like, there's at least one dude that I know listens to the show, and Oscar is your name, and I know that. He knows because, like, he's like, yeah, let's do it. Like, he's...
To you?
No, yeah, yeah.
To your wife?
No, he definitely wants to fuck me. He listens to the show enough, and trust me, he's, you know, I've had a barbecue at his house. I knew what he was doing. He's like, let's put the keys in the fishbowl. But you pick up my keys, all right? And we let the ladies do whatever ladies do.
Wow.
But let's get down to Sausage Town is what he wanted to do with me. But I can't wait to hear whatever tweet he sends me after that. But anyway, I had that moment where I was like, and I've always been like, I want to be a gentleman. You know what I mean? But then I kind of realized that with my wife, that she was like, she found it flattering. And so that was the door opening for me. And now I hold no bars. If I see her and I go, good God. I let her know, and it helps. Like, she feels, I think, a lot better about herself. But as a guy, it's so many things that it's the equivalent of, I think, like Cosmopolitan magazine for women, in that so many things guys go, oh, you just want sex, it's all you want to do, and so it kind of makes you almost ashamed of any thought or feeling of having on those lines.
But if that's just a regular dude at the grocery store, then yeah, that's kind of gross. But she has signed up for this. She has signed up for the Worsham train ride.
Yes,
she has bought tickets.
Right.
So then I don't think they're. You know, there's a problem with it. Unless it's really kind of gross and inappropriate, and like in front of your kids or your in-laws or your neighbors.
Yes.
Or, you know, the guy at the Jiffy Lube. Yeah. If you ever in a bowling ball grip at Macy's, inappropriate.
Okay.
But if like when
I...
She
never wears skirts, so I'm okay.
Wow. And she loves bowling.
Yeah. If I could, I would bowl her. So
I
think that's... Here's what I think. I think that for a guy, that the way that this stuff kind of works in our brains is that... You're afraid of opening up, like you're afraid that if you open a little door, that it's all coming. You understand?
Here's one thing, and my husband won't listen to this, so it's fine. That kind of drives me a little bit crazy. Like, I don't mind, like, if I'm walking by with, you know, underwear on. I hardly wear underwear. But anyways, if I'm walking, let's just say it's a Tuesday and I'm wearing underwear. And I walk by and he smacks my ass. That's fun. Right?
Yeah.
That's a good time, Charlie.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, I'll be... leaning over the, I don't know, laundry basket or whatever, you know what I mean? And he just like randomly like just starts to dry hump me. That, I'll be honest, I'm like, really? Like, I don't know why. I don't feel like it's gross, but it's like, I'm leaning, I don't know.
But,
once in a while. Not.
I understand. But what is it that you don't like about it?
It's just like, I'm just trying to sort these socks.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's just like, just like...
But you see, if there's any kind of moment...
I guess I'm taking it all back, what I just said.
If there's any kind of moment where you have done that, he's done that, and you go, or anything.
Which I have.
Right. Yeah, then that means that for us, it kind of, it's not, we're not, I hate that I'm about to say this. I don't think that we're smart enough to be able to find the gray in that area.
Okay. Then there need to be clues that both people agree upon or some sort of little shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, like I like the smack on the ass. That's kind of cute and fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like if I'm doing laundry, I'm leaning over the thing or I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm looking for something in the back of a cupboard.
Yeah.
So I'm leaned over and it's just like,
I just need to know, does he really make that noise?
I make that noise. I'm making that noise. I'm doing this. I'm a Foley artist when it comes to, I see him
casual
coming and I
marital
go,
affection.
Oh, sorry. Oh my God.
Fine.
That's worse. But like, you know, if he's eating something, I go, I do the whole, yeah, sound effects. You know, I mean, again, that's not hard and fast. Sorry,
right.
Pun intended.
Yes.
That's not a hard, fast rule, but I guess I'm taking back everything I said to you. Yeah, you shouldn't be a dog.
Exactly, and that's...
No, but it's
but cute. You're right.
When I think about you and your wife doing it, which I do...
Constantly. I think most people.
I think about you guys.
My parents are thinking about it right now. In the
I think it's cute. Like, aw, that's
right.
Cute.
And that's what's funny is that me hearing your husband come up behind you and dry out you, it's endearing to me. I know
really?
It sounds... Oh, yeah. Because here's where this whole thing stems from is that there's a very old story in my family that my great-grandfather, whenever my grandmother was doing dishes, he would run his hand up her dress.
That's cute.
And then she would, hey, you get out of there. And he goes, I paid $12 to do that. And that's how much it cost for the marriage license at the time. So when Natalie and I first got married, I told her that story. And so I would, you know, pinch her in the ass or I would honk her boob or something like that. And I'd say I paid $75 to do that because that's how much our marriage license costs and inflation and stuff. It gets more expensive to touch a woman now, I understand. And so there's that dynamic that I like. I think it's great. I think it's healthy. And it's a new thing that I found even within my own relationship through talking to the people that have listened to the episodes with me talking about the sex and family therapist, like that it is a thing that is common, that it's weird to me. I also am interested in the dynamic of once you've been married for so long, like the initiation of sex.
Yeah. What like, do? You have to change it up?
Well, not change it up, but
I'm saying
just,
like the initiation.
Like, but is like, because some people have like just a routine, and like, and then there's the joke of like, you want to fool around, like that's the move that a guy has after he's been married for a while because he doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, and there's all these different conventions, and I don't know. I just find that incredibly interesting, that whole dynamic, that and like what we've been talking about, the idea that a woman has a child. And that has a man who loves her and has at any point thinks that he is not into her in any way, shape, or form, to me is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, but you have to understand that there's so much that goes on after you have a kid chemically,
mm-hmm.
right? So your brain is just fried and your body has gone through so much. And your wife's done it twice.
Yep.
And you watched, or did it come out the lobby or the
yes.
sunroof?
No, okay, with the lobby.
Both kids lobby.
Lobbied.
So did you watch that action, Jackson?
Yes.
So
yes.
In my mind, even though every guy can be like, oh no, it's fine, it didn't ruin me, I can't imagine looking at a vagina again and not remembering that, like some sort of post-traumatic, you know, like a war zone.
You know? What you do, I think it's compartmentalized in that a vagina is such an amazing thing to men that it is without the possibilities, you understand? So it could serve multiple functions. We don't get wrapped up in the fact that pee comes from somewhere in that general vicinity.
Right.
That's one job.
Right.
The other one is for birthing children.
Right.
And then the one that is most important to us is for providing large amounts of pleasure.
Right.
That we so hope and desire for.
Right.
So it's, they don't, and there are guys, because if you read the What to Expect, you're expected, there are guys that they do cross, theirs become a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
But most guys is like a jacked up Olympic logo. Like all the
okay.
circles are separate.
Okay.
There's no real crossover between
that's
them.
Always the fear for me is
no.
that he's just flashing back.
No.
Like, you know, you just
if
see
he,
like
if he is, it's just so he can hang in there for 5 more minutes. That's the only thing. If it ever, like, because some guys have that. They have this thing that you have to think of to distract yourself so that you don't like finish too early. You understand?
Okay. Okay.
Did I just make it weird? Is
that what you're saying? Yeah, I don't know what happened. I think when you said Venn diagram. I think you lost me at the beginning of the podcast, really.
At episode 93.
Talking about your dad's car. I really think. I've been kind of hung up on that the whole time. I haven't really been listening to anything else.
Okay, fair enough.
The cigarette lighter broke?
Yeah. So to put a button, this by far was 10,000 times more interesting than anything I could say about my kids' project. So I'm sorry if you're listening going, get back to that. Not going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
But I do.
I hope your listeners are okay with me just.
No, randomly. They love you. They absolutely love you. I know it. You've
I've
seen it. People tweet you after you do come on the show.
They do.
They do. They like you.
And they poke me.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I would just throw it out there. I know that this is Mother's Day.
Right.
But so make it your month. You know what I mean? And just try it out for size. You understand? Just go out there. Only if this is it only works if you are and of the mindset that you're like, I don't know if I don't feel attractive. You know what I mean? Like, I guarantee you that if you just do one flyby in the nude, that you will find it'll hick him up. Like if something will happen.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And you have to pay very, very close attention because some guys have learned like very careful. I've had moments where like if I'm having a conversation with my wife that I have to remind myself to look at her in her eyes. You understand? Like you have to, so you've learned a skill set that you're
right.
like, I got to lock in and you're just like, stay here.
Right.
And so he might've learned that. So do it, you know, don't do one and done is what I'm saying. Don't get discouraged.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, not just to you. I'm saying also to the moms.
Sure, sure.
Other moms.
And the name of this book is called?
Justin's, let's see. That's a good question.
How to feel.
Your boobies are okay. Whatever you are is enough. That's a romantic.
Yeah. Whatever you are, we'll settle for it. How to settle on being settled for.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's a great title for a big...
Post baby body is okay?
Yeah. Like question mark?
Yeah. Exclamation point question mark. So it's not quite a question. It's also a statement.
And then one of those like crooked mouth emoticons. Like,
yes. Yeah. With the colon and the P like yeah. or whatever. With like with the tongue hanging out the side of the mouth.
How to stretch out your sex life with stretch marks.
Yes. There we go. Now we've got a series now.
Wow.
We've almost got a box set. And I'm smelling you as a ghostwriter. That's what I think needs to happen.
I'm so sorry. That's just me as an immigrant. I didn't shower.
No. I'm saying you're going to contribute to the book.
Okay, I was not following.
It was an analogy. I really, apologize.
I do always smell. I take a shower and I come out of the shower and I smell.
No.
Yeah.
I've never smelled you. Like, in a bad way, is what I'm saying. There was one time I saw you at a show, and you were up on stage. You're like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sweaty right now or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
I think I stink to high heaven. I go, no, you don't.
Oh, I wanted to tell you an audition story.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, let's do it. Do you have time? It's 11:45.
Yeah, I'm good. Good.
Okay.
Okay. Went in for this thing for Amazon. They're doing like these kid shows, mm-hmm. and they needed a mom for interstitials, right? To kind of like intro the next kid show. Everyone's doing original content,
like dinner and a movie kind of
type
show.
Of thing. Yeah. So I go in to audition for the mom part. I'm a mom, perfect. And, you know, they ask you to slate your name, right, to camera. And so I slate my name. Hi, I'm Kira Soltanovich. And I don't even finish my name. And the guy goes, do you need a glass of water? And I said, no, why? Do you think this sounds hoarse? And he said, I don't know. You're okay? Okay. I didn't know if that was.
Is that your real voice?
I go, this is it, buddy. This is what a real mom sounds like. If you want someone who doesn't sound like they've been yelling and screaming for the past 3 years straight, go hire a non-mom to play a mom. But this is it. And I was like, I'm not going to get this job. There's no way I'm going to get this job. So I finished the audition, and he put me on a veil.
Of course.
He put me on a veil, which means to people listening, they're basically saying, hey, it's between you and someone else.
Yes.
Now,
it's better than a callback.
I didn't ultimately get it, but that was probably one of the weirdest auditions I've ever had. When someone's
cut to,
like,
welcome to Movies for Kids on Amazon Prime Video. I'm your host, Stephanie Solano. Up next, enjoy a chunk from Caillou. Coming up after that, we have a delicious recipe for cupcakes.
I just was mortified. It's like someone's
your voice doesn't
you.
Even stand out to me. As like
it's a little scratchy, but that's from being a comic every night of the week, and then getting up at 6 and wrangling a 3-year-old to get dressed and get in the car.
You know, it doesn't sound scratchy,
right? But that's how he. It's like you going in for an audition and you slate your name. Hey, my name's Justin. Wait, hold on. That's the face you're gonna go with.
Do you want to change shirts real quick?
How about your abdomen? Did you need to switch that out? Yeah. All right, that was my story.
Like they stop you and look at the other like the casting record. Did we put out a shape guy on the call sheet? Is that what went down on the breakdown?
A guy that's given up?
Is that what? Okay. All right. Well, whatever you got, go ahead.
Yeah. I guess that's the body you have. So that's my little...
something you literally cannot change at all in any way, shape, or form. All right, let's do a little moment of the week, and then we'll wrap it up. Sound good?
Okay.
Oh, hold on, break. I was listening to something earlier, and I disconnected my stupid computer. That's gonna make a hum noise. I'm gonna have to fix that in post. All right, we'll go from now.
You made them. You love them, and sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment.
Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So mine actually comes from something we were talking about at the beginning with the homeless thing. My kids have never seen me give anything to anybody as far as like in the homeless banner. I don't know why I'm making this weird. But anyway, we do. I had an author on the show. You don't know this, but Rachel Cruz, who is Dave Ramsey's daughter. And she has written a book called Smart Money, Smart Kids. And it has some ideas on how to raise your kids to be money smart, obviously.
So we started doing it. The kids have jobs. Their job is to feed the dog, and then they also help me clean the table after breakfast and after dinner, and I give them $1 a day. And so I couldn't figure out a way to divvy up the money yet to where the way she suggests, like say you get $5 a week, she suggests that $2 go to whatever they want to buy, they could spend it, and then you have them put $2 in an envelope for saving, and that's so that and that's for like a big ticket item, and then you set the final dollar in the give, and because she's a religious family, they would. As kids, they would always give that money in the offering plate at church is what they would do. Well, recently my son said, hey, can I go to the store and get a toy, you know, with my money? And so we're like, sure. And so my wife was going to Target anyway. So she goes there. And Jack, my younger boy, was here taking his nap. Jacob picked out one of those Spider-Men that have interchangeable body parts. You can put like a Hulk arm on Spider-Man and all that. And that's a toy that's out there. Mm-hmm. So he bought the Spider-Man. And then he said, can I get something for Jack? And Natalie goes, what do you mean? She goes, I want to buy something for Jack. And she goes, sure. Like, he wasn't sure if he had enough money. So he went and found a Ninja Turtle, like a plush thing. That's like, it's like a, almost like a stress ball, but it's a Ninja Turtle. He goes, I think he'd really like this or whatever. And he was going to get one for himself too. And he goes, I'll buy this one for Jack. And I just, it was one of those things where, you know, they come home and he comes in and he's all excited to give his brother his toy. And it was, I thought it was a very cute and touching moment where unintentionally I had somehow taught my son to I am going to take credit. That is what I'm saying. I'm going to take credit for his kind heart. Even though I've given no example, I will still take credit.
I think you should. Yes.
But he bought this little toy and his brother was very excited about it. And it just, I don't know. I just thought it was cute and touching that. And that's Jacob, too. You know.
So now you need to take him to a bar.
Okay.
And teach him, like, this round's on me.
Okay.
And then next round's on you.
Okay.
So that Jack learns, like, oh, Jacob, this round was on him.
Uh-huh.
So then when I have my money to spend.
I have to also, I have to reciprocate.
Next round. Yeah. I got next round.
Quid pro quo.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think, and, you know, forget that it's a bar. Let's just use that as the vehicle for the lesson.
Of course, yeah.
But you should take them to
a bar. Well, I do want them to be heavy drinkers, so yeah.
No, of course they should suppress their emotions somehow. Yes. You're giving them tools, but...
Not too open.
Right, yeah. So that's wonderful, though. Did he have enough money for both?
Oh, yeah. It's weird to watch him because, like, Jack is only two. So
when
soon
does he turn three?
He'll turn three in June.
Okay.
So it's only a month away, but He soon as he gets the money, he's like, let's go do something with it. And then you kind of tell him, hey, you can't really get anything beyond a candy bar. He's like, candy bar it is. Like, and so he wants to spend it. Jacob has had money for a while. Like, I've been paying him to do, when we used to manage the apartment building, I would give him a couple bucks every week to help me clean the tables around the building. Like, so I would spray the stuff and he would wipe down all the tables and he would help me do that. And so... He's, I think, kind of learned that you can kind of hang on to money, and he doesn't have that desire to always get rid of it. And
he's
kind of picked that up.
Older too.
Yeah, he's older, so he's held on to his money, and so he's got enough to where he could buy this toy. He also had enough to where he could buy these extra toys, one for him and one for his brother. And I don't know, I just felt like it was a parental win.
That's
or whatever.
Very sweet.
And my parent, the other one for Jack is that my parents have been staying here, obviously stayed to buy the car, and they stay out in the back end of our house. So the studio that I record the show in is in the bedroom portion of what is a one-bedroom addition on the back end of my garage. We've set up a bed and stuff in the living room area with a TV, and that's where, you know, visitors, friends, family come, and they stay out there. So Jack, the first night came, and they always want to go see Grandpa and Vava, but we're like, oh, well, don't wake him up. But then we found out my parents are getting up at 6 a.m. So this morning, it culminated. They'd been here for a couple of days. He literally woke up, didn't even look at us. Usually he'll come into our bedroom and wake us up. He woke up, walked out, ran out, and went outside in the kitchen and came out here and crawled in bed with my parents. And,
oh, my God, so sweet.
Yeah, and they love it. So, yeah, it's really flipping adorable and cute in all ways. Makes you feel sorry for yelling at him.
I know. This morning I had just this little 3-year-old face in my face. I'm just asleep. I'm just out. Just
that's what made me think of this. Yeah, you said this.
And he just whispers, I want a banana. You know, if you've never been woken up to a 3-year-old whispering in like the most menacing, creepy, just like half murder type of, I want a banana. And I just wake up, oh, gee. Like, you poop yourself a little bit. You can't help it. Just a little bit of poop comes out.
You can't not poop yourself. It's not going
to. I'm just like, oh, my God. Oh. Yeah.
I like that he whispers, though, too. Yeah. Like, it's so funny that they have those moments where this is, I'm going to whisper, but every other thing is like decibel 200. Like,
right.
Jacob was out here. We're hanging out last night by the fire we have in the backyard, and he's yelling. And I'm like 5 feet. I go, Jacob, I am right here. It is okay. You don't have to scream at the top of your lungs. I know you're my child, so it's not your fault. But, yeah. So that was our show. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget to throw us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Follow us on the Twitter @dadpodcast. I'm going to be putting out a date. I might try and do it while I'm on the road, but then something new came out. I know I told you guys we're going to do like a live call-in show. I want to do it with the wonderful Rachel Gibbs, our family and sex therapist, where you guys could call in and even talk to her too. I thought that would be a fun double down. So I'm trying to make that happen. Going to be most likely on a Sunday because I think that would be best for everybody. But so follow the show on @dadpodcast to make that happen. And if you could throw us a like, if even though I know you listen to the show, but I'm talking to some sponsors and the more what they call impressions. So the more people that can see their message, the more valuable it is to them. You can find out stuff about Kira at KiraComedy.com. That spelling is in the description. You could follow her on Twitter at KiraComedy. If you're in the Southern California area, at the end of this month, she's going to be headlining at Pechanga Casino May 30th and 31st in Temecula, California. But all dates are available at KiraComedy.com. And there's a link to her Facebook page, which is like Kira Sultanovich Comedian, I think. Isn't that how it goes?
I have a couple. Yeah. I have just me, Kira, and then I have Comedian Kira, and then I have the Kira Sultanovich Show, which is my podcast.
Well, that was my next thing. Is it Kira Show or is it the Kira Sultanovich Show?
I don't know why my producer made a website, thekirashow.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the website.
But if you want to find it.
Facebook is the Kira Sultanovich Show.
But you want to find the podcast in iTunes.
Yes, the Kira Sultanovich Show.
Kira Sultanovich Show. So you can find the spelling on that. Or you could just send me an email and I will send you a link to it directly.
If you Google Kira and then stand up or comedy or funny or, you know, stretch marks. I will come up.
I literally put Kira Show in iTunes, and there's your podcast right there that you can listen to. Definitely listen to it because it's awesome. She has great comedians. I've been on the show, so you know her bar is high. And
I really needed someone that week. I know.
But no, in all seriousness, she does get some really nice names, and it's fun. They talk about comedy and being parents. It's a great show, so definitely check that out. And subscribe, asshole. And I think that is it. On behalf of my dear friend, Kira Sultanovich, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.